There are two things that are going to be happening that day. The worship committee meeting will be cleaning up the worship closet before we have the administrative planning retreat. Now, that retreat will go from 11 to 3, and they would like for you to RSVP. There will be lunch served. On November 8th, we are having a church work day. Please arrive by 8. Bring your gloves or whatever you use to help, and I'm sure there's going to be things inside and outside the church to do. Bring your talents with you. There is a church conference on November 16th at 3, and one of the things on the agenda that particular day will be the church-owned property. We have an announcement about the Thanksgiving dinner that we're doing here on Sunday, November 23rd. After the 11 o'clock service. We would like 10 volunteers to cook a 14-pound turkey, carve it up, and return it to the church kitchen that morning. There is a notice on the bulletin board for you to sign up, as well as any ideas that you have to make this Thanksgiving dinner a great success. Turkey, the mashed potatoes, the gravy will be furnished. If you need aluminum pans, those will be available for your use. I think that they're asking that we all just bring a dish to share and bring something big enough, more than just your family, whatever that you would like to bring. If you have any questions as far as that is concerned, please get with Bobby Allison. Okay. We are also starting this Sunday through December 7th. We are taking up a love offering for our staff. Now, I need to clarify that. This is something that SPR is wanting to do, Staff Parish Relations Committee. Pastor Esther has asked that she not be included in this love offering. This is for the 9 other employees of our staff. If you feel so moved, there are envelopes in front of you. Put whatever you feel that you can with your heart, and please put love offering on that envelope. And then when the offertory gets passed by, go ahead and drop it in there. We will be doing this again from now until December 7th. Also, too, I just wanted to let anyone else know that is interested in ordering any popcorn. Troop 418 is still selling popcorn, taking orders and money. I know the popcorn is a lot, but if you kind of put that aside and realize it's going to help a young man go to summer camp, that's the important thing. A lot of these boys do not have the funds to be able to go to summer camp. And I want all the boys, and I consider them my boys, to go to summer camp. So if you can help, if you don't want the popcorn and want to donate, that's fine as well. But I am still taking orders for that. Are there any other announcements that need to be made this morning? Okay. Also, too, if you have a prayer or a praise this morning that you would like to share, please fill these out. These are prayed over and praised Monday nights. Put those in the offering plate as it goes by. If you've done something for a neighbor, a coworker, someone in your community, at the grocery store, whatever, please place one of these salty service cards in the offering plate as well. And then please register your attendance this morning. And then if we could stand to do the opening words. For those who have not been welcomed before, you are welcomed by Christ here. For those who have been turned away, Christ is opening the door for you. For those who have been forgotten, God cannot forget you. For God made you. Come, join together in worship of our God. You are God's beloved. We welcome each other in the name of Christ. Amen.
You stay standing and turning your handles to page 402. We'll sing, Lord, I Want to Be Free.
Now, if we could turn back to 889 and do the affirmation. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen.
May be seated, and may the children come forward now for our time at the altar. All right. How nice to have everybody up here today. How does everybody like this cool weather? Not so much? You love it. You love it. But you don't like it too much, huh? No. You love it, too. Oh, we have some more babies coming up here. That's great. Here we go. All right. Okay, I want to tell you a story. Once upon a time, there were two buckets. Every day, they were taken to the well and filled with water and carried back to where they were needed. Back and forth every day, three times a day, back and forth. And one day, they came to the well, and the first bucket said, "Isn't it sad, no matter how many times we leave this well full of water, we always come back to it empty?" And the second bucket said, "Not sad at all, no matter how many times we come to this well empty, we always leave full." And the moral of that story is, it just depends on your perspective. Many people like to talk about the hardness of life. The fact that we have to work every day. We get up and we go to school and we work and we come home and we have homework and we have chores. And your parents get up and grandparents get up and go to work. And then the next day they do the same thing over and over again. And some people think it's just too much work. But with God's help, you can come to see that our work is done for God. Back and forth, over and over, we work every day to spread God's love, to spread God's peace, to spread God's hope. With our hearts, we share God's love. With our words, we speak God's peace. And with our hands, we build God's hope. So no matter how many times you come back empty, having given it all away, God has more love, more peace, and more hope to make us full. We can pray, "Oh, let the work of our hands be successful." We too reach out to God and ask Him to fill us so that our hands and our hearts and our words can do His work. Now, I'm going to ask you to pray with me, and this is called an echo prayer, and that means that I'm going to say a line, and then you're going to repeat it after me, and maybe the congregation can help out by repeating after me for this prayer. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for keeping us full. Let the work of our hands be successful in sharing your love, your peace, and your hope. Amen. Thank you. Now, this is always the hard part of time, is picking out the right piece of candy. Here we go. Okay. we continue to serve God through the giving of our gifts, and I ask that the ushers please come forward for our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is thine, O Lord, a trust, O God, from thee. Amen.
praise. Every word of worship. Every praise. Every praise. Every praise. Every word of worship. Every praise. Every praise is to our God. Every praise. Every word of worship. Every praise. Every praise. Every praise. Every praise. Every praise. Every praise. Every praise is to our God.
About you, but I could go home feeling full, and that was worship. That was worship. Thank you. And now we come to that time in our worship where we ask God to speak to us in the silence that we enter into this space. Close your eyes. You feel like it, bow your head. Feel God knocking at your heart's door. And let Him in. And if you feel called to do so, lift up your prayer verbally or silently to Almighty God. Sue Michael. God of all the seasons, this morning we come to you in the freshness of the weather, experiencing your beauty in creation. Remind us that we too are works in progress, and you are continuing to help us be shaped into the people you have called us to be. We still have much to learn and grow, no matter our age. And as the season turns, may we see a new point of view, experience a new way of living, and know that only your love is steadfast and unchanging in our turning world. In the name of Jesus, who fulfills the promise of love that succeeds death, we pray all things, and in His words we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you stand and turn your hymnals to page 703, we'll sing Sweet Lord, Sweet Child.
I don't know about you, but I can feel the Spirit of God flowing through this house this morning. Just let it surround you and just fill you up. We are reading out of Matthew 22, verse 34 through 46. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question. What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David by the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. These are the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
There's been a lot of talk in our culture about people who say they're spiritual, just not religious. I'm sure you've heard that, and you may have even said it yourself. And that means, I take that to mean, that they have an interest in God and holiness on a personal and individual level, but they are not at all interested in communities of people with similar interests, because that would mean taking these people and their opinions and problems seriously. They're happy to love God, whom they cannot see, but they do not wish to get too involved with the neighbors whom they can see. This definitely describes us at various particular times. And it's not a new problem in the history of humankind. We've always had a desire to decide exactly who it is we are obliged by God to be nice to, and how nice we have to be to get credit. In today's gospel lesson, we read the end of a long section in Matthew where the Pharisees and the Sadducees conspire to trip Jesus up and get him in trouble with the Romans. Now, you and I both know politics certainly makes strange bedfellows. The Pharisees and the Sadducees cooperating together makes about as much sense as the Tea Party and the re-elect Obama committee working together. And you know how well that would go. But these folks are determined. They have one common goal in mind, and that is to keep Jesus from But here's the question, and the text before us has Pharisees take their turn. They put the question, which one is the God? They're talking about the Hebrew theological tradition of man marrying at the 713. Depending on how you count them, it's a little more or less. And then they want which one of those 613 is important. No one can keep all 613. That would be impossible. And so they played this game among themselves. Which commandment is the greatest? But Jesus does not play their game. That's two things. First, very serious theological answers, quotes from Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18, coming together and calling them the greatest commandments. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. And then he lightly shuts them up with a little, and David's on how can he also be David's pastor? And that's kind of like, this is consider loving God with loving the neighbor. You really do matter. God by its by off somewhere by spy by the way. That God is not in the pain of because you don't expect anything from God, and God expects anything. Such a spiritual love and truth comes very earthly confusing me called by this. As Jesus says, loving God and loving our neighbors are tightly bound and strictly together. Then we are forced to deal with love in the real world of people who are imperfect and incomplete, people who are at times undeserving of our affection or unresponsive to it, people who are at times incapable of us back. And we have to live out our love for God in a world of people who also sometimes care about us when we don't really care to be cared about. It is, as I have said, confusing and messy. I was in a church one time where they had an argument over furniture, where to place a certain piece of furniture. There's a battle going on. One person would move the furniture to one place, and then the next week it would be back in its same place. And that went on for quite some time. And finally, the people admitted who it was that was doing the moving all around, and they were able to face one another and see one another and talk with one another. They were able to come to a compromise with one another. But that's just a small example of the kind of difficulty that we have when we do. They are spiritual but not religious, have spoken more truth than they realize. Spirit, it's squishy, formless. One doesn't really have to do this embodied thing that we think of as spirit. It is more feeling. It's about feeling and impressions. On the other hand, the root of the word religious is ligar, which is also the French root of the word ligament. And we know what that means. You can't get much more earthy than that. Ligar means to tie or tie back. And ligaments are what? They connect muscle to the bone. And religion ties us to God and one another. Those who seek to be spiritual without being religious believe they can float free of the ties that bind, feel good about God, and be confident that God feels good about them. But an amorphous and spiritual being alone would not have come into the midst of our pain and suffering as God sent Jesus to do for us. It took a God who was not afraid of human compassion. It took a God that loved us so much he was willing to get his hands dirty. It took a God who walked on this earth as a human to give up whatever measure of what it means to be divine and plunge into the muck of our lives. And that's what happened. That's what God and Jesus did. And our muck hasn't changed much since then. We're still pretty messy when we deal with each other. We still are imperfect people. God in Christ took on ligaments and sinews and walked among us and suffered among us and died among us and with us. For us. God in Christ was raised from the dead and draws us together, ties us together as the body of Christ, held together by ligaments of love, sinews of service, and we, tied together, body of Christ in the world, are called to the task of loving God by loving our neighbor. In God's stead, and in God's name, and in God's way. And with God's help, only with God's help, can we love our neighbors as ourselves. If we, this morning, we're going to sing momentarily, "You Are Worthy of My Praise," and I'm going to invite you, if you want God's help for anything, loving your neighbor, or resolving a conflict or bringing peace to your troubled heart, I invite you during the singing of this closing hymn to come to the altar and pray and ask for God's help. And anything that you ask Him, God will bring to you. Maybe not in the way you want Him to, but God's power and love is there for the asking, if you will do so as we now stand and sing together. our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each of you, now and always. I pray God's peace be upon you until we meet again.